Good evening.
How many have had a good day today? My, hasn't this been a wonderful day all day long? Oh, God's been so good. I love that choir tonight. My, beautiful. They got on that Jewish tone there once. Boy, I thought the gates of the conqueror are going to open. About felt like it. It's beautiful. Well, it comes to a time when we have to say goodbye. We're going to leave on the plane early tomorrow morning. And we trust that we have said something that has blessed your soul, set you on fire, and you'll go back to your home church. And you'll encourage them. Don't go back to the home church and rail on them because they wasn't here. That right? One fella come back from camp, you know, and nobody else had went to camp. The preacher was afraid to ask him to testify because he knew he had say so many good things about the camp. So he thought he'd get around it. He called on him to pray. And the fellow stood up and said, "Oh God, I've just come from where you walked. The glory of your presence just turned all that ground to pure gold. Night after night, day after day, you poured your spirit out. Lord, it was so wonderful and so great. We just wish you could have been there." You're encouraged, folks, by letting your light shine, not rail on them. Isn't that right? Go back home on fire for God, and God will bless you. I've preached camps since 1938. There hasn't been a year in my life that I haven't preached from 2 to 7 or 8 camps. I'm looking back in my life, and I can't think of a camp that I enjoyed any better than this one right here. I mean it. I wish you would have been here. But I'm sincere about it. It's been wonderful. And Rose has enjoyed it. And I'm so glad to have Rose here tonight. We have enjoyed, and this is wonderful to come here, you know, on our anniversary and enjoy this wonderful fellowship. No grouches around. Haven't heard anybody criticizing anybody. I've just heard folks praying for everybody. I haven't known Rose too long. 3 years we've been married. Really enjoyed her as a wife. Sometimes I realize she's also my sister in the Lord. Especially when I kiss her, she says, "Oh, brother." Come on up here, Rose.
You are mean. I just whispered he was mean. I never know, like I said, from night to night, I never know what my introduction is going to be. So I wait with bated breath. One woman in one meeting, we came to the end of the meeting, she said, you know, if he is my husband, you know what I'd do? I said, no, what? She said, I would put rocks in his pancakes.
I believe it.
But I have learned to know him, and I love him through it all. And the Bible says love covers a multitude of faults. But I want to say it's been great to be here in this camp. I really have enjoyed it. Not only enjoyed it, I have benefited from it spiritually. And I just love the spirit of your camp. The blessing of God maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I want to say it that again. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And I have felt the blessing of the Lord every service that I have been to. And I'm glad for the blessing of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's the thing that keeps us going, and I'm glad that I have felt it, and I'm sure that everyone that's come to this camp have felt the joy of the Lord, and they've taken something home with them to help them in days to come, to live better for Him, to be greater soul winners for Him. Praise God. And I just want to leave one scripture with you tonight. I'm not going to say very much, but delight that a scripture that's been real, very precious to me, especially after I left, lost Dr. Lowry, my first husband, and he was taken so suddenly, and that was, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And it seemed like that scripture would come to me a day after day as I came back to a 9-room house that had always been filled with preachers and laughter, and I had 3 lovely girls, and my last daughter had just gotten married before her father passed away, and then I came back to a 9-room house with no one there but myself. And it was quite a trauma to go through. Those of you out there that have lost companions, it's just half of you gone. But that scripture was made so real to me. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And day after day and week after week, as I picked up and carried on the church, I delighted myself in the Lord. And it wasn't that many times the tears didn't course down my cheeks as I left the church folk, and they left with their companions, and I drove down that freeway all by myself, and I waved goodbye to them with a smile, but the tears coursed down my cheeks. But I am sure tonight that if we delight ourselves in the Lord and we consecrate and dedicate our lives, that the Lord will give us the desires of our heart. How many believe that tonight? And then someone has said that something else, what we do not use, we lose. What we do not use, we lose. And then what we don't appreciate or thankful for, we lose. How many are glad and thankful tonight for the blessings of God? Amen. Oh, I'd like just to have you stand up one time more tonight, and I'd like to just see everybody just raise both hands and thank Him for all His blessings. Praise God. Thank Him for all His blessings. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give Him a good clap offering tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Dodd, the official of this district, for inviting us. And it's been our joy to be here and to minister in all the services and to see what has been accomplished in the hearts of men and women. And if we never see you down here, I intend to meet you in the rapture. Praise God. God bless you.
Thank you, hon. We certainly appreciate the liberality of your offering. And also, we'd like to say, don't send us any money. Keep it in your home church. But there's something we want you to do for us. We want you to pray for us. How many will send up some prayers for us? Will you do that? We have a very heavy schedule ahead of us. And I feel very deeply within me the need right now of the message of the coming of the Lord. Never have I felt the closeness of the coming of Christ as I do now. Never. Everywhere you turn, there's a point of contact that says he is coming. And what a day that's going to be. And you know, we should be rejoicing. We should be praising God. Our churches should be resounding in thanksgiving. You know how excited you used to be when you were going to go home? My, when I was away to school and it came Christmas time or vacation time and we went home, I'd get on that train. You didn't ride a plane in those days. You got on a train and I'd head home, you know. And I can remember making those last curves. And I always stood between the cars. The window down and all the soot blowing. And I'd look and I'd see different things that just said, oh, I remember that tower. Yeah, that group of trees there. There's that old house up there. Oh, the next turn, the station will be there. And my dad will be waiting for me. And he'd come around that last curve, and there he was. And my old heart would go like that. And I was determined, just determined never to bawl. Bawled every time. Every time, so did my dad. It was just something, just seeing all the signs. And folks, if you just look around you, you see you're riding on a thrust that's going to bring you into the home station pretty quick. And your father's going to be waiting for you. Glory to God. What a time we're going to have. Oh, I thank God for the kindness of his presence. And you have such a wonderful superintendent. I said, you have such a wonderful superintendent. Let's give him a hand. Nina. Very wonderful. When I flew to Paris with President Eisenhower's advisory staff a number of years ago, he said there are three things that are absolutely necessary for anybody to serve on the staff. First of all, you have to smile. You have to smile. Second, you have to take your job serious, but not yourself. Third, I want you to pray. You know, that was tremendous advice. Do you know that? Somebody said, well, he should have put prayer first. Oh, no. No, no. You have to have the right attitude to pray. Isn't that right? If I regard iniquity in the heart, the Lord is not going to hear me. When you come into the presence of the Lord with joy and with thanksgiving, you feel it all the time. And I like that, not taking yourself serious. Come on. Self-pity is self-destruction. Self-destruction. I could have left home. I was in a brace, and three doctors said, you can't go back to Michigan. You can't go to New York to the meeting. You cannot go to Oklahoma City. And I could have said, oh, poor me, poor me. But I never. Rose said that. That's right, isn't it? And I could have had self-pity, But as I went along, I just said, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to just smile about it. I'm going to thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Believe God's going to give us a meeting. And oh, hallelujah, I stand here and I haven't even got a brace on. Glory to God. My back feels good. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, I praise the Lord. I said, I praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Now, I want everybody to feel good like I feel. So I want you to turn around and smile at everybody like a half a cantaloupe. Come on. Show your teeth. Come on. Glory. Amen. Brother King.
Praise
God.
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. God bless you.
Praise God.
Oh, I appreciate you, brother. Glory. How many feel better right now? Isn't it amazing what a smile will do? You know what a smile is? A smile is a quick vacation. That's the quickest vacation you can possibly take. Not only that, it increases your face value. That's right. Now, I'm going to try to answer some questions tonight. I've had more questions thrown at me in this camp than any camp I have ever preached. Anywhere. I go back by my books, you know. And somebody will lean over and say, I'd just like to ask you one question, Kenny. And they started in Genesis and finished it in Revelation. You know, I can't answer every question. And I would like to say that we don't have any prophecy books left. We have about 10 of these. Because we brought 40 extra of this, the other side, visions, rapture, and afterlife, and it'll bless your soul. Somebody said, but I wanted to get one of those on a special price. If you do, stop by back there. There's some application form, and I'll pay the postage and send it to you. Is that all right? Just give them your $5, and you can have both books, and we'll send it out to you. It costs us 68 cents. To send it. And then you got a dollar off, so you know where we're going. But we love it. We're not going to use it anyhow. I said, we're not going to use it. We're going to go home. I said, we're going to go home. I don't think you heard me. I said, we're going home. You believe it? How many really believe it? Hallelujah. I want you to turn to the 21st chapter of the book of Luke with me. 21st chapter. I'm glad you brought your Bibles. I would like to read this entire chapter, but I don't have the time. Somebody said my last 4 points last night was better than my whole sermon. That's what somebody told me right out there. My last 4 points was better than my whole sermon. And they said it took you an hour to give them. Well, let's not go into that. I want to read something to you. I want to start in. Let me just skip around a little bit. 19th verse. In your patience possess ye your soul. Underline that, will you? 19th verse. Any time you begin to study prophecy and you begin to study the coming of the Lord, you will find the word patience. Patience is always connected with it. The Lord hath long patience for the early and latter rain. And you have to be patient. Most of us says, I wish he'd come right now. Well, he hasn't come right now because he's got something for you to do. And when you get that done, he'll probably come. So do it. Whatever you do. Now, I'm going to go on down. 24th verse, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Somebody asked me about this scripture. What about it? Well, you know, let me just tell you something. 1980 brought the greatest fulfillment of prophecy since the resurrection of Jesus. Now listen to me. Some of us are asleep. The greatest fulfillment. First of all, I have preached for years and years that the Jew would go back to his homeland. And they went back to the homeland. And the desert is blossoming like a rose. Did you hear me? Oklahoma is a prosperous place, you know. I like Oklahoma. I can't help it. You folks are so friendly. Even when you say stuff about California, I wouldn't refer to anybody that's sitting down in this section at all. And the third seat there on the end, I wouldn't say a word about it. Not a word. I have the flexibility to control myself. But do you realize that Israel raises 20 times what you raise on 1 acre? What we raise in California. They raise sweeter oranges, sweeter grapefruit, better tomatoes, better roses. If I had time to go into statistics, and I don't want to bore you with it, you wouldn't believe it. But look it up. Read about it. It'll shock you. It'll absolutely shock you. Because God's hand is turning from the Gentile to the Jew. 30th chapter of Jeremiah says that when the tribulation comes, that God will deal with the Jewish people. And he's dealt with the Gentiles to take a people out for his name for the past years. And when I was in Transjordan, Hussein and his general said, "What do you think about Jerusalem? What's going to happen to it?" I said, "It isn't what I think, it's what the book says." It's what the book says. And the book says that no matter how many million men you have, how much equipment you have, how much of the world backs you against Israel, Israel will take Jerusalem and rule it. Because the Bible says. And in the 12th chapter of Zechariah, it happened this year. And I'll just turn over here and read to you the third verse. "And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." And in the UN, they voted against it. Even United States voted against it. In the United Press International this last year, I'm reading, quote, "Israel Prime Minister Begin declared Thursday that a united Jerusalem forever is now Israel's capital. All my life I've waited for that. All my life. Because I knew He could not come until the capital of Israel was Jerusalem. And it happened. Even though the whole world fought against it. Though all the Catholic Church, including the Pope, said the Jew cannot have Jerusalem. It's international. But they control it today. Because God said they would. Not because God is any respecter of persons. Somebody said, are you for the Jew? Are you for the Arab? Listen, I'm for God. Amen. But this I know. It isn't who you for, it's what the Word says. Did you hear me? And the Word said, and I said to the generals, I said, you can just stack it up against them. But when a day comes, they'll move and they'll take it because God said that they should. So they will. And they did. And it kindled a holy war. Saudi Arabia had demonstrations. And the Arabs had demonstrations against them taking Jerusalem. And such demonstrations where hundreds and hundreds of people were there. They took live rabbits in their hand. Live chickens. And the Arabs bit the heads off of them. And chewed on them while the blood run down. Said, that's what we're going to do to the Jew. And long live our Soviet friends. That's what's behind it. Did you hear me? You don't get so quiet. That's what's behind it. And the move now, since Jerusalem is in the hand of the Jew, the change from the Gentile now, Begin and his generals now say, we are not fighting the Arabs. We are now fighting Russia. Now, I ministered to the servicemen in Turkey for some time. And I often wondered about Turkey because of the fact that they let our Air Force and they let our men and everything, and they were pro-American, and everything was wonderful. They received me with open arms. I had to run to the country when I was there. Everything was just wonderful. But it isn't today. And the reason is the 38th and 39th chapter in your Bible of Ezekiel tells us in the fifth verse, fourth verse, I will put hooks in the Russian jaw. I'll bring them down. I hope you'll remember one thing right now. Remember when God inspired Ezekiel to write this, there was no Russia. And he said, from the north they shall come down, and straight north from Jerusalem is Moscow. And it says that with Russia will come Persia. So they had to take Afghanistan. Because the Bible says these countries are going to be with them. They moved into Afghanistan, which is one third of Persia. They put us out of Iran. Come on now, stick with me. They put us out of Iran. They took our planes. They shot down our satellites. And our hostages were held by Russian-trained people. And then she furnished Iraq with equipment to move against Iran to weaken the whole situation so that she could set up and be 19 minutes from the Straits of Hormuz, and she could control the flow of the oil throughout the world. Now, when this happened, there was a complete change in the world of economy. Complete change. There is a complete change in the strategy of the United States in the Middle East. They put in effect immediately Operation Kneecap, and I'm not going to go into this part of it. They made preparation for the nuclear war. America did. Immediately. Everything began to move as fast as we could. 24 hours a day we loaded planes and shipped them. Because Libya, Ethiopia, every country that the Bible says in Ezekiel turned and lined up to come down against Israel. And Moscow made this statement, and this is a quote: "We are now in position with the first blow to wipe out 90% of all of our allies." 90%. You say she's just blowing. No, she's not. She's ready to go. Since we gave detente 1972 and 1973, we have furnished her wheat. Some of you folks have. Come on, don't get mad at me. I'm just stating some facts. Folks ask me chronologically where we are. I want to show you where we are. She didn't have to raise her wheat. She could work on her munitions. She didn't have to work too hard on them because we furnished a lot of them. We built her the biggest factory in the world. The biggest. Chase Manhattan Bank furnished the money backed by the United States government. Your taxes. So that she could build hundreds and hundreds of tanks that lined up from one end of the border, Turkey, to the other, and they're now ready for an airlift. Ready to go. Everything is lined up. All my life I said, she'll never get Turkey. And then down in my heart when I'd read the Bible, the Bible says she'd get Turkey. You know, it's hard to be outsmarted. It's hard on the ego. When I was in Turkey, they said, "We only have good commies." That's right. Got a serviceman right down here knows what I'm talking about. That's right. You wouldn't dare say you were a communist. I want you to know they lower your lip 4 inches automatically. There was none anywhere. But now they have a war regime government with a contract. Just that quick. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And now everything has turned. And when they did that, our men in position of no said, "It is now the midnight hour. 35 years they waited for that move. And it came. Jerusalem, the country's lining up. And Begin says, now, undoubtedly this year, the hook will be in the Russian's jaw. Now, let me explain something. Don't criticize those that are in power in our country. They're trying to save your life. Out on the Negev Desert at Ovda, Ramona, 60 miles apart, we're working from sunup to sundown. We have our very best from the Pentagon. We have a head general from Israel over it and a head general from the United States over it, who are co-generals. And we have put $500 million in it already on two airstrips. They're working as fast as they can because they said if we don't finish it right away, Russia will make her move and we won't be able to have a war of containment and it'll spread to the United States. So we've fixed these huge airfields, 2 miles long with huge skirts for the F-15s and the F-16s. Everything's ready. I ministered to the boys, and it's all ready to go. And they're waiting. And my Bible tells me, and I'm reading from Chapter 31 in Isaiah, the 5th verse. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it. And passing over it, he will preserve it. And we're there to block the move. We put our carriers there, everything. Maybe before you get home tonight, we will be in Hamangog, which is the multitude of Russia. The first war that triggers the nuclear war in World War III on the hills of Israel. Now they're already, they expect it any moment. Tonight they may move into Syria. They may hit the missiles that are there. Russia may say that's enough. And her chance to swat the United States and take over Hormuz and stop our vessels and our oil so that we'll suffer. That's going to just go like that. You know, there's so much, and it's happening so fast. It's hard. She's ready to make her move because of the fact that she has us in a position where the last 7 years we have been going downhill. Every year we've been going downhill. And don't think there's some strange object somewhere we have hid under the bed. She has a controlled particle beam that can release and through a vacuum move a proton and hit our intercontinental missiles before they ever fire. It's all ready. What are you getting at, Brother Smith? I'm just explaining something to you. This is the bad news. I'll have the good news in a minute. She's ready to go. And so consequently, you read Jesus says, Jerusalem be in the hand of the Jew. And then there will be great distress of nation with perplexity. That is, there will be no solution to the problem. You can't get across it. With perplexity. That word there means that there will be no impasse. It's an impasse and you cannot get through. And that's where we are right now. We sent our envoy over and they sent him home. That's where we are. God is writing the headlines of the paper. I hope you'll read it. Because you better read it. Because in a moment's notice, it can happen. At a special session, the president said, I can press this button. At the strategy session. And in 20 minutes, we can release everything. But 20 minutes later, we will be completely crippled and one third of this world will be in blood. The neutron, the rest of it. Let me read you just a couple of scriptures because I want to put some scriptures in here because if I don't, somebody say, what about it? I'm reading Zechariah 14:12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand on their feet. Listen. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. They shall die standing up. That quick of a death. Neutron is just like that. If it hit here tonight in Oklahoma City, everybody here, you'd be sitting consumed. It's just that quick. Now, I'm just explaining something. I want to turn to the 25th chapter of Jeremiah. I'm just giving you what the word says. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I want everybody to hear this verse. Evil shall go forth from nation to nation. We have everything set to go. Russia has everything set to go. Rose and I were coming up from the Air Force the other day where I'd been ministering. And I think Rose probably had a little awe in her life because it had been the first time she'd been with me on an air base. And the salutes of the planes, which made Rose a general's wife. That was awful hard on her because she's been the general all the time. And I've been the buck private. But once in a while, she brings the bars out and the braids. And makes me king. Especially when I go play golf. Because I have an agreement with her when I go play golf, she can go shopping. We're down there in that Air Force base watching these boys and all the maneuvers and all the rest. And then we went by all of the silos and what have you. And I thought of this scripture right here. Evil shall go forth from nation to nation as a great whirlwind. And it shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. Now this is Bible. And the slain, listen of the Lord, at that day shall be from one end of the earth to the other. Now this is in Megiddo. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered, nor buried. They shall be dung on the ground. That's because of plutonium. Carbon minus 14. I was hoping tonight that our representative to the Nuclear Congress of the World would stop by this auditorium to be in this meeting with me. I got a phone call. He's not going to make it here. If he would stand up here and he'd tell us exactly the situation. Rose and I spent 4 hours with him a while back. And when we finished talking and looking at the Word of God, he stood up. He's one of the smartest men in the entire nuclear field of the entire world. Our representative to the Nuclear Congress. With tears on his face. And he said, our only hope is the coming of Jesus Christ. That's our only hope. The next night, he brought his wife and 2 children and himself to our meeting, knelt with tears rolling down his face. It's at the door. Now, every time you read of the rapture, you read the word sudden. Now, don't kid yourself. It says sudden. Sudden destruction cometh. Lest I come suddenly and find you sleeping. Isn't that what it says? Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast. Let no man take your crown. It's a trick of Satan to want you to be asleep. Amen. Now it's ready to go. Now let me give you the good point. You can't take too much of this because you just don't have enough to balance in your life to take it. I can't take it. But the good point is, Russia is going to lose. Did you hear me? After all of her boasts, after all of her lies, after all of her scheming, after taking our wheat because she needed it, and then selling it. After building hundreds of thousands of bunkers, 10 foot thick, with the hardest substance in the world. My Bible tells me that God is going to take care of her. I want to read to you. Now, you read the 38th and 39th chapter when you get home of Ezekiel and you'll follow it through. But it says in 39:2, I will turn thee back. Now, I'm going over to Job. Here they come. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm. In my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Listen now. Third verse. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth, and the land is as a garden of Eden before them. Behind them it's a desolate wilderness. Listen now. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is like the appearance of horses and horsemen, so they run, like the noise of a chariot that leaps from mountain top to mountain top, like the noise of a flame of fire. Did you ever hear the noise? These are mystery. Listen. It devoureth everything before the face of the people shall much pain. All the faces shall gather blackness. The Hebrew word here is paru. They shall be burned black. Now listen. But the Lord said, I will remove them far from you. The northern army, I will drive him into a land that is barren and desolate. All these years she's taken those that praise the Lord and those that didn't line up with her atheistic ideas and world-conquering ideals and philosophy and put them up in Siberia. And I've been in prison. I know what I'm talking about. She's watched them die with a grin on their face. But God said, I'm going to put her up there. Will you say hallelujah? Will you say hallelujah? All right. And his hinder part towards the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he had done great things. And thinking a evil thought, he'll make the attack. That's going to happen to Russia. We're going to be hit. But now let me tell you another good thing. As this happens when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. And Jesus said it will come and rain upon them. In my Greek Testament it says rain upon them. It'll come out of the sky. It'll come from controlled particle beams. It'll come from killer satellites. It'll come from SS-19s. It'll come from every direction. But Russia will be taken care of. But there's somebody else that's going to be taken care of. It said, sudden destruction shall come upon all this situation. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day will overtake you. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. For you haven't been appointed unto wrath, but to obtain deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. The trumpet's going to sound, and Jesus is going to come with a shout. Did you hear me? Woo! How many believe in shouting? I got some folks here from Las Vegas. My brother that served with me 8 years. As my associate was hit by a drunken driver on the wrong side of the road. And I lost him. When I got to his side, they'd already taken him away, but his Bible was open. And written across it, it said, I've gone up with a shout. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Some of you folks haven't shouted for so long. You'd almost scare yourself. But I don't care. You're going to shout. If the trumpet of the Lord would sound right now and the voice of the archangel ring out and the dead in Christ would rise first and you and I that are sitting here would start up, you would look over me and say, Hallelujah, Kenny. You believe that? Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, I want you to know God has that all prepared. He said, fear not. I go to prepare a place for you. For you. Now, he's not talking about heaven. That's after the millennium. We're going to meet him in a special prepared place in the clouds. And we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the Lord said, and I'm going to invite you to sit at my table. And I'm going to dine with you. We're going to have the judgment seat of Christ. And then he's coming back with all of his saints. And you and I will have our particular parts to rule and reign with him. And all of our position. And we'll stream down. And all the earth will see us. And they'll see at the head of the column, King Jesus. I don't think you heard me. I said, King Jesus. He's not on a cross. He's not on a cross. The man Christ Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. And he's at the right hand of God the Father. And when he comes back, he's going to be clothed, hallelujah, in fine linen. And his vesture's going to be dipped in blood. And he's going to be called Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess. Whoa! These smart alecks on the boob tube. Who use his name in vain. I want you to know their knees are going to shake. And they're going to fall on their face. And those that look at you and say, you holy Roman. I had a colonel one time. Said, what denomination are you? I said, Assemblies of God. He said, never heard of it. You know, we're not too big. I said, we're not too big in this world. When you begin to count the millions and millions in this world, I said, yes, you have. He said, I haven't. He had a big cigar. I never heard of you. I said, yes, you have. He said, you got more than one name? I said, we got a dozen. They call us everything. I thought I'd just hit him between the eyes. I said, I'm a holy roller. Oh! I'm not ashamed of it. You say, I'm not a holy roller. That's just because you haven't been under the power lately. Amen. He took what was left of that cigar out of his mouth. He said, do you mean you're one of them? I said, yes. Most wonderful experience I've ever had in my life. And I began to tell him about the coming of the Lord. I didn't have to tell him what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. The only thing he didn't know is that you and I have a special secret shaft that leads out of the suffering of this world. Glory to God. Lined with angels. Did you hear me? Jacob saw it. Elijah was caught up in it. Amen. Lazarus, Jesus said Lazarus was going, and so the angels carried him over. I get to preaching about this, I'll never stop. My wife was leaving this world, dying, and she called the girls in a week at a time. I've four children, raised four of them. No, I never. I raised three and jerked up one. Don't laugh at me. I may meet the one you jerked up. I have a lot of folks here that know. She called the girls in and she divided the things with the girls. Because she said, honey, after I'm gone, They won't enjoy the things as much as if I give them to them now. And where I'm going, I don't need them. I said, dear, I believe God was going to heal her. There was no doubt in my mind but God could heal her. And God could have. But it wasn't his time. And I said, listen, dear, I'm going to take you down as soon as you're out of this bed, and I'm going to buy you outfit after outfit. I've got the money. And her eyes softened. She looked at me and smiled. Yeah, I believe you would. But you're not going to. Last night, Jesus showed me. I was in the corridor. And I had the most beautiful dress on. She said it was so soft and so light. And so wonderful. You couldn't buy one like that. It took Jesus to buy it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the Bible says that when this hour comes and the clock is punched and the missiles are released and all of our great forces go into action, the generals say it'll take 55 minutes to finish the war. That's why you young fellows are not conscripted right now. This won't be a 30-06 or an M1. This is going to be mass execution. The Senate Investigating Committee the other day said it'll take 20 minutes to wipe 50 million in the United States into eternity. 20 minutes. 50 million. Say, don't those things scare you? No, because his hand's going to reach down. And the Bible says in the middle of the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, don't be asleep like the remaining ones were. I'm reading from the Greek. I'm quoting from the Greek. Don't be asleep like the remaining ones. Jesus said, look up and lift up your head. For your redemption, your loosing away, your departure is at hand. Now I got to quit. But as I prayed this afternoon, and I prayed, the Lord wanted me to bring you a verse from this 21st chapter. 34th verse and 35th. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That is a conflict of interest. Jesus said, I must be about my master's business. My Father's business. Now you and I are not ignorant of the devices of Satan. He's not going to touch you on the shoulder and say, listen, Zeb, Why don't you deny Jesus? You'd spit in his face. But he might touch you on the shoulder and show you where, if you quit preaching, you can make some easy money. Don't you wish those other folks were here? He might show you that if you give up your Sunday school class, now that you got a new camper, there's a beautiful lake where they all run over 14 inches. And he's a liar. And he might put the pressure on you because of that new Sea Ray boat you got. He might put the pressure on you to just say, well, excuse me from serving on the board, especially the communion board, because you see, I only get Sundays off. And I can see myself out there in that lake, shooting across there with the spray in my face. Skiers behind. So excuse me, I don't want to be on the communion board. Conflict of interest. Is there anything wrong with that? No! Accept a conflict of interest. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the other things will be added unto you. Man, woman, listen to me. God's going to give you 1,000 years in this world, and there'll be no curse and no mosquitoes and no flies and no devil. All that he's asking is that you'll give him a little time now of preparation to meet him. Don't be tricked. Listen, I got to close. I got to read the best, so listen now. Drunkenness, nobody be guilty of that here. And cares of this life. So that day come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come, the Peshitta of the Eastern. Says, as a downpour shall it suddenly come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now, there's a scripture I couldn't understand for years. How could a wedding day come as a snare? Mine never. I was preaching to school of missions. In Springfield. And Tom Zimmerman, Brother Hudson, Gannon, all of them called me upstairs. Said, you're getting married tomorrow here. I said, yep. Kenny, why don't you stay over Sunday? I said, are you crazy? I'm getting married. I've got a rose. And I love her. I got that ticket on that plane, and I'm going to go out west. And I'm going to look at her and say, till death us do part. I'm going to smile while I say it. Brother Hudson stood up, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying this, because he's a close friend of mine. He said, you know what life is, Kenny? I said, what do you mean? He said, life is one fool thing after another. And love it, two fools after each other. That didn't change me at all. Because I was in love. I'm in love with Jesus. And no matter what they glisten with or what they say, I'm looking for Him. I got the wedding garment on. I've got the lamp full of oil. I got the name Jesus on my forehead. Glory to God. And written across my heart. And like a little kid, when I was first in love, I wrote names all over. How many did that? Did you do that? Carved hearts and trees. How many did that? Be honest. She's right alongside of you. Man alive. And I've got that name Jesus all over. And He's coming. Did you hear me? He's coming. I said, Lord, I can't believe that verse. As a downpour shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. It cannot come upon the church as a downpour. And I was going to sleep, and I was thinking about that. And I just finished 1,200 pages on Revelation in a manuscript. And I said to my wife, you know, everything ties in Revelation with the major and the minors and with the Gospels. But that one verse, as a downpour shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. I don't understand that thing. I have looked at it every way I can. Because the next verse says, watch and pray that you'll be counted worthy to escape everything. Isn't that what it says? Absolutely. And I went to sleep and my subconscious mind was working. I woke up in the middle of the night yelling, dwell, dwell, dwell. And my wife woke up and said, what in the world's wrong with you? I said, the Lord just gave me the answer. Dwell. I'm going to my study. She said, well, don't forget to come back. I study often all night long. You can sleep anytime. Some of you are sleeping right now. I told you can sleep anytime. And I went to my study and jerked down a couple of my Greek Testaments and begin to read. As a downpour shall it come on all them that kathamei, that have become rooted, fastened to the things of this world. Did you hear me? Does your home mean more to you than the coming of the Lord? Does your position mean more to you than the coming of the Lord? Everyone that hasn't laid aside to wait, but has let the roots go down into the places of this earth, will be left behind. That's why He said, watch and pray that you be counted worthy. You know, when I came into this thing, we didn't have any Sunday work. How many remember those days? No Sunday work. You remember those? If you're a Christian, you didn't work on Sunday. I just was up in Michigan where my folks lived, out on a farm, and we shamed everybody that worked the field. They were considered an atheist if they did it on Sunday. If they cut their lawn, they were an atheist. Because Sunday was the Lord's day. I was listening to two on the porch of the church talking. And one fellow said, well, I won't be here anymore Sunday. I had my job changed. I work Sunday and I get Monday off. And so that gives me the whole day free. I don't have to go to church. We used to trust God. Now, pardon me. I don't want to get on your toes. I want to get up by your neck. Now, you're saying you're getting fanatical. No, I'm not. Why not trust God for a job where you can serve God in the church and not work on Sunday? We used to trust Him for it. Texaco Oil came to me and said, we're going to break your lease on all your wholesale and retail oil products because you won't open on Sunday. I said, let me tell you something. Before you break it, you go ahead and figure everybody else's production because God has given me the best production. And I said, after you figured it all, if you figure that I can't cut the mustard as a Christian, close it on Sunday, come and tell me, and you can have the whole business. They come back and said, we're going to get along. Said, you got twice the production of anybody else that's open on Sunday. Twice. God can give you a position where you can serve the kingdom. Amen. We ought to begin to trust Him. Listen, it's too easy to get the roots down. Kathamea. Lay it aside. Say, Jesus, I don't want to be fastened to anything in this world when the trumpet sounds. I want to be ready to go. I don't want to be trying to get off this earth pulling a camper. Did you ever notice something? You'll never find a camper behind a hearse. You say you don't believe in campers? Sure I do. And you probably have a right to one. But don't let it keep you from the house of God. Use it. Let it be a place of rest. Jesus said, come apart and rest a while. Most of us just come apart. Well, I'm through. I wanted to tell you something else. It's the last night of camp, and I can't go any further. But I'm telling you, everything's at the door. Jesus stands at the door tonight. It's all ready to go. They're not going to miss you. You and I are going to be gone. And the Antichrist is all ready to step in. With Russia crippled, United States crippled, she'll walk into the 10 kingdoms of Europe to rule and to reign the old Roman Empire. In Revelation 13, Revelation 17, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, it pictures it all. And He'll rule. But you and I won't be here. We're going to rule with Jesus. Are you ready? Thank Him for it right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. I've got to close. Please, everybody stand very quietly with your heads bowed. No one leaving this building for just a couple minutes. What's 2 or 3 minutes to eternity? I feel the Holy Spirit here. He's talking to our hearts. Son of God. Kundravah. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. If you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit you reap life everlasting. I have called thee with a holy calling. I have marked thee as my own. I am a jealous God. I will have all of thee. Yield yourself, therefore, into my hand, and I'll make a way for you where there is no way. And verily, I shall open the door that seemingly is shut, and I will prepare the path for you, and I will make it straight. And thou shalt receive the blessing of the Lord because of your commitment unto me. Yield yourself. I'm calling thee. Verily, I would have you as my lover. I would have you as my own. I would have you as my bride. Turn not to the other things. They shall perish. But turn to my things. They are eternal. Yakahanda. Sulamahanda. Oh, Jesus, have thine own way, Lord. Now, I know the Holy Spirit's here. You know it. And the Holy Spirit is in the world to prepare a people for his name. He's not trying to save Oklahoma. He said Oklahoma's going to burn up with fire. California's going to burn up with fire. This world shall burn up with fire. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. But God is talking to hearts here. I don't want to know anything about your life, but God's talking to something that has rooted you. It's put the tie down. A couple said to me the other day in a revival meeting, we're in love. We're not married. We're going to get married. What if the Lord comes before our marriage? I said, go up holding hands. Anything against that? No. Don't let things hold you back. Make your commitment to God. Now, this altar's open. The last altar call of this camp may be the last camp we'll ever have. Brother Dodd, it may be the last camp you ever have. Until the camp in the sky. Hallelujah. You won't even need a preacher then. I'm going to lose my job. Glory to God. But God is talking to people right now. And if he's talking to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, whatever it is that's fastening you to this earth, give it up now. Lay the axe to it and say in the name of Jesus. I'm going to cut loose. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to be a servant of the Lord. And God's going to do something for you. As we sing it, if the Holy Ghost talks to you, don't grieve him, because he's working with you for your day of redemption. Let the world have the nuclear war. Let them have all this. But let us get ready to go. They that have this hope purify themselves. Let it be purified now. Have thine own way. Sing it, will you?
Have thine own way.
If God's talking to you about something, forget about everybody else. While every head's bowed, slip out of that seat. Come down here and kneel. and say, Lord.